Then suddenly, as we approached Q, came a number of people running, and the upper works of a Martian fighting machine loomed in sight over the housetops, not 100 yards away from us. We stood aghast at our danger, and had the Martian looked down, we must immediately have perished. We were so terrified that we dared not go on, but turned aside and hid in a shed in a garden. There the curate crouched, weeping silently, and refusing to stir again. But my fixed idea of reaching Leatherhead would not let me rest, and in the twilight I ventured out again. I went through a shrubbery and along a passage beside a big house standing in its own grounds, and so emerged upon the road toward Kew. The curate I left in the shed, but he came hurrying after me. That second start was the most foolhardy thing I ever did, for it was manifest the Martians were about us. No sooner had the curate overtaken me than we saw either the fighting machine we had seen before or another far away across the meadows in the direction of Kew Lodge. 4 or 5 little black figures hurried before it across the green-gray of the field, and in a moment it was evident this Martian pursued them. In 3 strides he was among them, and they ran, radiating from his feet in all directions. He used no heat ray to destroy them, but picked them up, one by one. Apparently, he tossed them into the great metallic carrier which projected behind him, much as a workman's basket hangs over his shoulder. It was the first time I realized that the Martians might have any other purpose than destruction with defeated humanity. We stood for a moment petrified, then turned and fled through a gate behind us into a walled garden, fell into, rather than found, a fortunate ditch, and lay there, scarce daring to whisper to each other until the stars were out. I suppose it was nearly 11 o'clock before we gathered courage to start again, no longer venturing into the road, but sneaking along hedgerows and through plantations, and watching keenly through the darkness, he on the right and I on the left, for the Martians, who seemed to be all about us. In one place we blundered upon a scorched and blackened area, now cooling and ashen, and a number of scattered dead bodies of men, burned horribly about the heads and trunks, but with their legs and boots mostly intact, and of dead horses, 50 feet, perhaps, behind a line of 4 ripped guns and smashed gun carriages. Sheen, it seemed, had escaped destruction, but the place was silent and deserted. Here we happened on no dead, though the night was too dark for us to see into the side roads of the place. In Sheen, my companion suddenly complained of faintness and thirst, and we decided to try one of the houses.